box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how you doing?
I'm awesome.
Ward, remember when I said a long time ago that you never ask me how I'm doing? That it's so one-sided. And then for a couple of times, for like two episodes, you were like, Nico, how are you? And then that was it. Do you remember those moments?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. In my defense, I realize how excited you are to get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. So really, I don't ask how you're doing it as a service to you.
Okay. Yep. All right. Yep. You know what? We're just going to pass on that. We'll talk about that next
time.
Hey,
Nico, today, real quick.
No.
How are you doing? Are you doing
Shut
okay?
No, I don't want to talk about it right now. Okay, because we have a guest. We have a returning guest, which is so super exciting.
Ben, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, jumped in.
I'm doing great. How are both of you?
I'm good.
Okay, you know what? That's fine. This is our B episode, guys. B episode means that we talk.
We ran to each other and just complain, and all the dirty laundries aired in the B sides.
That's pretty much what exactly it turns out to be. We try to talk about movies that we have watched during the week, things that we actually liked. Ben is with us today. Ben, I feel like you are a very interesting human being with your views on movies, and I can't wait to get into just your thoughts on popular movies and terrible movies and everything in between. So it is a very exciting B episode today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Okay.
You know what would be amazing? If Ben's like, oh, I only watch Battlefield Earth. That's all I watch.
Yeah. Ben, what type of shows do you watch? Like, if you're going to unwind at the end of the night, what are you putting on your TV? What are you watching?
Probably something along... If I'm going to watch a film, I would say Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay, good choice.
Something like Spaceballs.
Oh, okay. All right.
The movie Summer School.
I don't think I've heard of that one. What is that one?
It's an 80s comedy. It's a high school. Obviously, it's about summer school. It's directed by Carl Reiner.
Uh-huh.
It's just about a gym teacher who gets stuck teaching remedial English during summer school and the bond that he makes with the children he teaches.
Oh, wow.
It's really, really funny. It holds up very well. Yeah, it's a great just kind of shut your brain off and laugh. It's great.
I looked it up. It has Kirstie Alley and Mark Harmon.
Yes.
Is that the movie? Wow. Okay. That actually sounds very... It's a cult film, teen film.
Totally.
Okay. Interesting. Got pretty high ratings. All right.
Yeah, there are two characters named Chainsaw and Dave, and they are obsessed with the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Perfect.
I sometimes want to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre after summer school.
Have you seen it on its own? I mean, have you seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Oh, absolutely. I love Texas. Yeah, absolutely. I love horror as well.
Yeah? Okay. Yes. All right. Very good. Ward, should we do our lists and see if Ben's watched any of the stuff that we have watched, what opinions he has?
I mean, that's kind of what we do this episode. We go through what we've watched, so I feel like that would be appropriate at this moment.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of sass in you tonight, Ward.
None at all.
I feel like it's starting off very strong.
I was affirming what you were saying.
I really don't want to have to deal with this today, okay? So I need you to shut it down.
I'm affirmative over here.
Calm it down. Okay. All right, you tell me your list, I'll tell you mine.
You don't want to go first? I'll give you that opening.
Oh my gosh, you are really grating my nerves.
Ben, do you want to go first? Ben, do you want to tell us what you've watched this week?
Yeah, sure.
Ben, what did you watch this week? Yes, please.
I watched Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh, okay. I have not seen it. Very nice.
It would be excellent fodder for your show.
Okay.
I have compared it to Battlefield Earth, Star Wars Episode 1 a lot. It's sort of like if The Fifth Element was terrible.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting.
It's a very entertaining movie. Again, you know, I think we talked like that. I think bad movies can be good if they are done in a certain way.
Sure.
And this kind of like scratches that itch.
Interesting. All right. What else have you seen? Have you seen any like TV shows or any other movies?
The movie Don't Think Twice.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
Came out a few years ago. It's a comedy about an improv troupe in New York City. Hmm. And one of them becomes famous.
Oh, yeah.
The will to be famous is sort of felt by almost everyone in the group except his closest friend, who's also his partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of about the drama between all of them and their troupe sort of dissolving. It's a great movie, though. It's really funny. saying. My partner does improv, and she stands by it. It's something that's kind of hard for her to watch, I think, sometimes. But I think it's great.
Interesting. It got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. It must be really good.
Oh, yes. It's excellent.
Awesome. Ward, what do you think? What have you been watching?
All right. You want me to run through the whole list? Or
how you know how it... No, no. I would say pick a couple, but I know you're going to run through the whole list. So just do whatever you want to do.
I'll only do the highlights. I watched Widows, Russian Doll Season 1, Bohemian Rhapsody, Venom, The Frontrunner, High Flying Bird, and I just started The Office Season 4. I've been watching through Season 1, 2, 3, and now I'm on 4, and I may not go much farther.
Okay, awesome. I have seen Await Further Instructions. I saw, Lord, you're going to love this. I watched Botched Up Bodies, and I watched... I did that just for you so we could talk about it. And then you're welcome. And The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I'll do those ones this week.
Which season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? Aren't we on season 2?
Yeah, and I have watched both of them. So
it'd be amazing if you watched season 2 and it skipped season 1. That would be impressive.
You would have a lot of questions. I'm not going to lie. It'd be a lot of questions. Okay. So, look, okay, this is, listeners, this is, you know how this goes. This is when I'm like, hey, Ward, what movie do you want to talk about? And I say the movie I want to talk about, and then Ward's like, that's great, let's talk about something completely different. And then he goes ahead and he takes over the entire show. So let me just, I'm just going to pass it right over to you. Do whatever you want, okay?
To be clear, that only happens when I have an agenda tonight, and I don't have an agenda tonight. I don't care what we talk about. Any order, anything, everything's on the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then I want to talk about Await Further Instructions. Have either of you seen this movie?
I have not.
I don't think I have.
You absolutely have to see it. If you like horror, if you like sci-fi, this movie is the one to go. I believe it's like I want to say like an indie movie, but it definitely has that low budget feel. Some of the special effects are super cheesy, but it is so incredibly well done. It's a story of this really dysfunctional family who is all stuck in the house over Christmas, and they start getting these messages on their TV, and they are encased in their house. Like, there is this shield around their house. I don't want to say too much. There's no spoilers on B-sides, but they physically cannot leave their house. And all they do is they get these messages on the TV. And so they have to decide if they're going to listen to them or not. And they become more and more horrific as the night goes on. So I would highly recommend. I love this movie so, so much. I watched it kind of on a whim, and I wish I had waited and watched it with people so that we could all enjoy it together. But I would definitely recommend.
Well, like these instructions, what kind of instructions? I mean, is it silly stuff? Notable?
No. It's like isolate the traitor or something like that. And so it's a little bit political because they're in a group of, like, the grandfather is racist and the boy who's been estranged from the family brings home an ethnic girlfriend. And so they believe she's the traitor because of her ethnicity. And so, I mean, it really gets into stuff. It really gets into stuff. And it's pretty intense, and it's, I think you're going to like it. I think everybody's going to like it. I highly recommend for like a B-horror movie. Ben, what type of B-horror movies do you like? Like, if you had to pick a favorite B-horror movie, what do you go for?
Well, my favorite horror movie, I think this would count, is Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I would say that's probably fine. Ward, do you watch this movie? The Friday the 13th ones?
I've watched some Friday the 13th movies, by no means all of them. I think I've seen the first one, maybe the third one, maybe the fifth one, somewhere in there. I've seen three of them. Definitely the first, maybe some others.
I highly recommend The Final Chapter, which is technically 4.
Okay.
It has Corey Feldman.
Yes!
Crispin Glover.
Say no more.
And my favorite death scene in any movie. And again, no spoilers. I heard that. I won't. But yeah, one of the best. It has an amazing dance scene.
Oh. Which is, pivotal in any horror movie to have a dance
scene. Oh, it's so good in this, I promise. It's an awesome movie, though.
What happens in that one?
It's, so 2, 3, and 4 take place in consecutive days. Jason just comes upon a handful of kids, staying in a cabin, and they're staying across the street from Corey Feldman and his sister, and Jason just starts killing them. There's a guy who's trying to hunt Jason down. He's not very effective. Wow. Yeah, the ending will blow your mind. You will not see it coming.
Wow.
All right.
Not see it coming from a Jason movie. That's a pretty bold claim.
It's
because, you kind of know what you're getting into.
You know how, there's somebody has a good airplane food joke? Somebody does. This is the Friday the 13th movie that transcends the rest. I assure you. Okay. I've seen them all. Okay. I like them all. Two Halloweens ago, or sorry, 2 Octobers ago, whenever it was Friday the 13th, my partner and I watched all 10 in a row.
Oh my gosh!
On Friday the 13th.
Wow.
And
that's
insane. 4 is by far the best one.
That's crazy. It actually sounds like a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it was. A couple of them drag. The 8 and 9 are kind of rough, but Jason X brings it back. That's the one in space.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I have seen that one. We should do that one, Ward, on this one. Yes, I have seen that one. Anything in space. Movie. Didn't you say that, Ward? Anything in space is better. Like Fast and the Furious in space.
Well, no, I wanted to test that theory. And
yes, okay.
That's an ongoing test.
Jurassic Park in space.
I do want to see Jurassic Park and Fast and the Furious in space. That's true.
Are y'all Fast and the Furious fans? I'm such a fan of this.
I like the first one. The first one, it was made by people that truly love cars, and I like cars, so that works for me. And the rest of them, they're interesting as spectacle because they are ridiculous, but I just don't like them like I like the first movie.
Oh, that's fair. I can see that.
I mean, how many are there? They've spun out now to so many different ones, because now, like, The Rock has his own ones with Vin Diesel. I mean, there's that franchise is just a big load of money at this point. It's insane. I have not seen all of them. It's too many. Too many to keep track of.
Well, they only come out once a year. Come on, that's not that bad.
I don't know. It's like, you know, it's kind of like the Marvel universe for me. Like, there's just too many Marvel movies. I can't keep seeing Marvel movies. I need more variety. I can't do it. I haven't seen a bunch of them recently. I just can't.
Did you like any of the Marvel films last year? Black Panther or Infinity War?
I did like Black Panther. I thought that movie was amazing. I don't think I saw Infinity War. Who was fighting who? What was that? I don't know.
Everyone. It's just all of them. It's all of those movies, just a little piece of each one.
I don't think I... No, I don't think I saw
Infinity
that,
War had Thanos, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I did know.
Wait, so neither
I saw it.
No,
I didn't remember which one. They all run together. But Thanos, I remember the Thanos movie. It's not Infinity War, it's the Thanos movie. That's how I know it.
Nice.
Avengers, the Thanos.
Because the ending of that was the best part. Like the first, 2 hours? I'm like, oh, whatever. That ending, that's kind of cool. I mean, they'll screw it up in the next movie. Yeah. But yeah, it always happens.
Okay. Excellent. Ward, what do you want to talk about? What's on your list here, friend?
We can start with Widows. That is a 2018 film directed by Steve McQueen. I did not realize it was directed by Steve McQueen when I began watching it. If I had, I would have been much more interested in this movie. But it is set in contemporary Chicago. You've got four women whose husbands were criminals. They get killed, and the wives are like, hey, we owe people money now. We need a way to do it. Why not rob some dudes and work this out? Really like this movie. Nice twisting plot. Nice action. Nice character development. And the cool thing is, all the characters feel like they have a life off screen. It's not like we're just, you know, they're here just to entertain us. They have lives. We're just seeing a small fraction of that. It's just really well made, great dialogue. It looks great. McQueen's a great director. And I just totally thought, wow, that's good. Good dialogue, good shot, good frame. I mean, everything about this is just really well made. And it's a really cool movie. Much better than I thought it'd be. And I will say, just a side note, that has nothing really to do with the movie. I remember Colin Farrell, when he came on the scene, he was like the bad boy. And seeing that he's playing middle-aged people, and like that's his wheelhouse, I'm like, man, I'm old.
You are old.
It's tough for that to be confirmed. Watching Colin Farrell, the bad boy, play middle-aged dudes.
I have not seen this. Ben, have you seen this? I've never even heard of this.
Oh, yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed the movies. I think that is, like, very fine genre filmmaking. Yeah, I could have watched everything that happened. Like Ward, you were saying, like, I could have watched everything else that happened to those people, but the way this is edited and pieced together, the pieces that we get are, you know, it's like very much the meat. It's so much what's important to the situation, not necessarily what's important to everybody in their lives, but I don't know, like the little things that are like sort of doled out, and the way that we are given information in that movie. There's a shot where Colin Farrell plays a politician and he's giving a speech in this very poor, obviously poor neighborhood, and the camera starts, it's on the hood of the car and it stays outside. So you see the neighborhood transition as he's driving home, and then you see that like this, you know, 60-second drive, and he's staying in this like giant estate. It's just like the way things are told in that movie is a very stunning movie and excellent acting all around.
It looks like Viola Davis is amazing. It looks like it has some big names in it. So I don't know. I've never heard of it. Maybe I'll check it out. We'll see.
I think even the people that you don't know yet are also incredible in that film.
Interesting.
Very good movie.
All right, moving on. I really want to talk about Botched Up Bodies. Listen, let's get that. I don't know. You're new to the podcast here. You're new to us. I enjoy a surgery show probably as much as you enjoy a bad movie.
I love
Botched. I love all those ER shows that used to be on that you can still watch sometimes late at night. I just, anything that has to do with surgery. So Botched Up Bodies is like the UK version of Botched, except it is way more extreme. It's much more of a cautionary tale. So we're talking like breast implants gone bad. One guy has a penile implant that's gone bad. You can imagine what that is. I mean, we're talking facelifts and just all sorts of things. And I absolutely love it. But unlike Botched, the US version, the UK version is much more like warning, don't do this, don't do this. Because I mean, I don't think I'd ever have plastic surgery. I've never been in a position where I'd want it. So, I mean, I can't say for sure. But after watching the UK version, especially like, oh boy, some of these people who, I mean, they get like vaginal rejuvenations. I mean, we're talking some very personal stuff that's getting done. And to see like the botched effect, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I would ever go under the knife. I think I'm good. I think nobody should ever do it. So, yeah, I love that show. There was a part where the doctors, first of all, the UK doctors don't wear masks. I don't know why. I think that's stupid. So he wasn't wearing a mask. He was cutting. It was a vaginal lid rejuvenation, right? He was cutting and he bursted a blood vessel and the blood squirted onto this man's face from eye to mouth. Can you believe that? And he was just like, can you just dot the blood, please, nurse? And, like, that was it. And that was it. They just moved on. I was like, oh, my God. I would never be able to do that. So now that that's in everybody's mind. I love that show, though. It was really great. They should wear masks. That's all I'm saying. Is that the UK doctors should wear masks? that's just what I'm saying.
Masks, glasses, maybe a full face shield.
Ward, would you ever get plastic surgery? Do you think that you would ever want, like, cosmetic, not like, you know?
I doubt it. I mean, if I was horribly injured in something that, you know, affected my face, yeah, I probably would because I'm a little vain like that. But just normal way, I look great already, so I don't really need it.
There we go. That's it. Ben, would you get plastic surgery?
Maybe just like thigh replacements.
Thigh replacements? Like,
I don't know. I was trying to think of like what, like something that no one would ever know that you got.
Oh,
something completely pointless.
There you go.
I need new ankles.
There you go. People get that stuff. They get like calf replacements, and you see on these TV shows people who want to be like Barbie dolls and they get their ribs taken out, and it is extreme. Ooh. I enjoy it so much. If I had the brain power, I would so be a surgeon. But as is, you should not give me a knife. So that's that. Okay.
Though arguably, though, if they gave you a knife, it could actually help these shows, right?
I feel like, listen, I feel like there are some of these shows that I could do. Like Dr. Pimple Popper, I mean, she is just slitting a tiny, tiny hole in someone.
We don't need to revisit this. We don't need to revisit
that. She just puts her finger into it and takes that lipoma out.
That was on the last episode. It's like a we don't need to bring cutlet. It back this episode. That was enough.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just had to bring it up because I knew you would.
I don't know why. I like David Lynch movies. I don't like these shows. I don't like talking about these shows.
Really? I don't know, man. It's fascinating to me. Ben, do you have anything you want to talk about for the week? Oh, what was that first movie you said? That one that was like Fifth Element? Because...
Oh, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Because that's actually been on my list for a while. Because it came out and it looked kind of interesting, but they didn't really advertise it very well. I didn't know what the movie was about. And then I heard it was really bad. And so that sparked my interest.
It's the most expensive French film ever made.
Wow.
It's entirely in English. It's based on French comics.
Really?
Valerian, the comics were like some inspiration for the original Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it has a weird history. If you read the IMDb trivia, there is a story about the director made like books about every alien species in the film and made the cast.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
oh, my gosh.
Learn about hundreds of species of aliens from all over the place. It takes place, I mean, it doesn't take place, you know, literally on a thousand planets, but they do travel a bunch in this weird, weird galaxy. It opens with a David Bowie song.
Nice.
And, like, it's the first 5 minutes are objectively good.
Yeah.
It's after that that it starts to, it takes a weird turn. I don't know. I feel like there's nothing I could say to really sell you on this, especially after I just told you how much I like Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, I know, right?
But definitely, like, worth, like, even the bad things in it are, again, like, kind of, they're fun. Mm. So when it's bad, it's fun, and when it's good, it's good.
Well, maybe we'll have to check it out.
Well, I think this is one of those movies that if you have, like, a passing interest, you might like it. I thought, like, it's a really cool idea. Unfortunately, it's kind of like Ben said, like, the beginning is the best, and it never really gets better than that. But this is one of those movies that there's a good idea in this, and you could edit this and kind of fix this to make it better. There's just some weird choices in here, some weird executions.
Look at this cast.
Both leads felt miscast.
I was going to say, these people that are cast in it, man, these are, like, famous people. Rihanna? Rihanna's in this movie? Really?
Yeah.
Clive Owen? Ethan
Hawke?
Yeah,
her scene is great. She plays an alien named Bubble.
That's fantastic.
A shape-shifting alien named Bubble.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Ethan Hawke plays, like, a half cowboy, half space person, half pimp.
That sounds right.
Yeah, it's
interesting, interesting.
It's a trip.
All right, Ward, what do you got?
Russian Doll, season one.
Oh, yeah, okay. I wanted to see that. Tell me, is it good? Is it worth it?
Well, it's one of those things that I kind of watched it by accident in the sense that I was on Netflix. It was on there. I was like, well, I'll watch it because I'm doing something else. I'll just have it on as background noise. And after the first, I'd say two episodes, didn't really care to continue it. I did anyway, just because I wanted more background noise. But if you can get through episode three, which I think it's only six episodes long, maybe eight, it gets better. Yeah. The last half is a lot better than the first half. Part of that is it builds on the first half a lot. But it's a very interesting show. And if you think it's bad in the first two episodes, get to the third and it turns around. It becomes a lot more interesting. I mean, I don't think it's the best Netflix has ever done, but it's a neat show, better than a lot of what Netflix has done. And it is a Netflix original.
Okay. I like Natasha Lyonne. I like her a lot.
Like, she kind of plays to her strengths in this. I mean, she kind of has a character she plays. And in this, it's really neat because her character's, it's pretty much a man in all senses. Like, if you could replace her with a man, and, like, all the dialogue, you wouldn't have to change a line of dialogue. You wouldn't have to change anything. It all kind of works, which is kind of cool to see her do that, a woman in that role.
All right. I'll take that. That's fine. The other thing I watched was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I love. I didn't realize that the creators and writers were the same for Gilmore Girls, but now that I know that, it's very, very Gilmore Girlish. You know, it has love interests, and, you know, she has this ex-husband that she still kind of loves, and then she has another love interest, and so it's very remnant of Luke and Laura and Christopher and all that. But I love this show. It's really witty, and the dialogue is fantastic, and it's really funny, and it has a great cast. And I think they just won a bunch of Golden Globes. So, I mean, I would say definitely watch the second season. Keep it going. Support it.
I've got Bohemian Rhapsody. That's the one that just came out last year.
Have you seen this, Ben?
I've seen it.
Oh, did you like it?
Nah.
Okay, Warren, did you?
I mean, what's nice about this is when, you know, the band is performing music, when they're writing music, in between, we have some perfunctory scenes that really don't do much. Other than, like, oh, yeah, these facts happen. We should find a way to shoehorn them into this movie so the movie can be semi-factual. What really helps this is the last scene is them performing at Live Aid. So you get three or four songs in a row, and it feels a little bit like you're watching a concert. So it leaves you with a really good feeling, and you kind of forget all the shortcomings of the movie. Because as a movie, it's not very good. Watching the performances at a kind of pseudo-concert, it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I think perfunctory is such a good way to describe most of the movie. It's just like paced between scenes of them performing music. And it's inaccurate. It's not really representative of Freddie in any way. I think it's really just what Brian and Roger wanted people to think the band was like. And it's kind of unfortunate. Yeah, I don't know. I do think that the musical performances are good, but the rest of it's pretty flat to me. I mean, they changed directors during the film.
They changed directors during the film? What happened?
Well, it was Bryan Singer who started making it, and I'll let you Google that.
Oh, I will Google that. What the heck happened? Now I gotta know.
I'm not gonna say anything. I'll let you. Yeah, you just Google that. Yeah, he was replaced by the guy, I can't think of his name, but he directed Rocket Man, the Elton John movie that comes out this year.
Mm-hmm.
He finished the movie. It was nominated for Best Editing.
Oh.
Some of the editing is dreadful, but I've actually had this conversation a bunch. I think it's the idea that there were two directors on this film, and they put out something that's, you know, watchable. And I think that was probably a lot of work, but the editing is just not. There's a couple scenes where, you know, like, the average shot length is, like, under a second.
Wow.
It's, like, just very unnecessary. And we're talking about people, like, talking at like, sitting around a table talking. It's not, you know, like, an action sequence or even them playing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to watch this one. I like the actor, like, you know, because I love Mr. Robot, but I don't think so. And I just looked up. I just Googled. So, that's interesting. I'll just un-Google that and move on.
Yeah.
Okay,
Well, I just want to say it's amazing this is up for a Best Editing Oscar, because the editing, like you said, at times is atrocious. I mean, it's terrible editing.
Yeah. I want to say that it won one of the Editing Guild Awards, wow, too. Like, that it's getting real recognition. It's kind of troubling. I had a conversation with this, or about this with somebody, and they were saying that the sort of the silver lining of this is that people are talking about editing. Like, film circles that generally don't, they just talk about performance or direction, are talking about editing.
Yeah.
So that's cool, but at the same time, like, we shouldn't be aware. I mean, I could gripe about the Oscars for a while, and I don't think my gripes are, you know, my gripes aren't that certain films aren't nominated, it's that certain films are.
I do know that there's no host for the Oscars, because of all the controversy with that. It's like the first time in 30 years that there's not going to be a host for the Oscars. So that's something, but I don't even know any of the films. I don't follow that. It's a bunch, okay, here's my view on the Oscars. It's a bunch of super rich people getting validation for what they do when they're already getting their asses kissed 24/7. Like, I have no desire to sit and watch these rich, privileged, entitled people get rewarded for their work. Like, just, it doesn't appeal to me at all. I might edit that out. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But I'm not a fan.
It's not really my thing. I mean, the telecast itself is not my thing. But I, you know, as a, I work at a movie theater. I want there to be good films made. And if the Oscars are some of the push to make better films, I guess I kind of have to stand by it.
Sure.
I'm not saying that anybody does make films for that reason, but I definitely get both sides. I'm not,
sure.
I don't really care in the end, but I do care that it exists.
Sure, that makes
and
sense.
Is executed well, but I don't think it's executed well very well.
Well, no host this year, so that'll be interesting. Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, they bungled that.
Yeah. All right. Oh, there was one more other movie I saw. I saw the Lego Movie Part 2. My kiddo had his birthday party at the movies. We went and saw the Lego Movie Part 2. And it was so cute. It was so sweet. It was just such a nice, endearing, fun, enjoyable movie. It keeps going from the Lego Movie 1, and the kid's now grown up, and it's like a coming of age, but it's also just a really fun adventure Lego movie. It was great. I loved it. Go see it.
As
everyone
far as how
it
compares to the first, I mean, better, the same, I assume worse?
I would say this. It's the exact same vein than the first one, so I would say it's pretty much the same. They do a little bit more of like the real people, like the kids and their relationship. So it's a little bit more of that and less of like the Lego world. But I think it worked really well. And my kiddo and his friends loved it too. So they were laughing and cracking up at all the little jokes. And that's what's really important. All right, Ward, what do you got?
Venom, the Tom Hardy Marvel movie.
Okay, don't say anything bad about this movie because I really enjoyed it. Both of you, shush. Nothing bad. This movie was great. We can move on.
Perfect. I wasn't very interested in this. I mean, I couldn't single out a review, but I just had heard it wasn't very good. So I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's not a great movie, but I really enjoyed it. Tom Hardy, he's a great actor. I mean, he did Locke, where the entire movie was a headshot of him the entire movie, and he did a great job with it. This is a lot of fun. I mean, he's, you know, like the back and forth of him and the alien symbiote, and just, he makes a lot of fun. I thought it was neat. And it does things a little bit differently than the typical Marvel movies until we get to the end where we kind of have good versus evil type thing. But I like that Venom is kind of an anti-hero, or I don't know, apathetic in a way that he doesn't really care so much about saving the world as he does about self-preservation. So put an interesting spin on it. Hardy did a good job. So it's not great, not bad. I enjoyed it.
Perfect. Ben, have you seen it?
No, so I skipped this movie, but only a week or so ago, someone told me that it's a sort of a loose remake of the movie The Hidden. Have you seen that?
No.
I don't think so.
Late 80s movie. It's from the director of Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Oh.
I'm really selling it here. But it's about an alien. It's Kyle MacLachlan. There's an alien that comes to Earth, and it likes rock and roll and drugs and fast cars.
Of course, as aliens
and
do.
And we don't... Yeah. Yeah, we don't see how it gets here. We just see it in the middle of robbing banks to continue listening to rock and roll, doing drugs, and driving fast cars.
Nice.
But it's a symbiote, so it can move from, like, human being to human being. And I guess that's sort of the premise of Venom, that the villain in that movie is moving from body to body or something like that. Or that's what I assume the connection is.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. It's trying to find, what is it? Like, it was trying to find a good host for it to, like, connect to or something like that.
Yep.
It's been a while since I've seen it. Yep, that's pretty much it.
Definitely check out The Hidden, though.
Yeah, that sounds good.
There's a flamethrower in it.
Oh,
You should have started with that. Yeah. You should open with that. Every time there's a flamethrower in a movie, you open with that.
It's incredible. Okay.
I watched The Front Runner. That is, I believe, from 2018. It's Hugh Jackman. He plays Gary Hart, based on true story, where Gary Hart was the front runner to be the presidential nominee, I believe, in 88. And campaign scandal brought that down. I mean, on one hand, we've had scandals that are much more worse than, oh my gosh, he's having an affair. So what is this movie really going to do? I assumed it had to really delve into the characters. Maybe, you know, I thought at one point it might delve into why does it seem like all these politicians have affairs? Is it ego? Is it power? Is it both? And this movie doesn't care about that. The movie doesn't care about developing characters. It seems like they went to Wikipedia, found all the relevant facts of what happened to Gary Hart, and just put that on the screen in the most boring way possible. It's just, wow. This could be something, and it's nothing. It's an outline in movie form.
See, that gives me hope. When there's movies like that out there, it gives me hope that one day we can work on a project and it could become something awesome. If movies like that are being produced,
based on a true story, just recount the facts, don't develop characters, yeah. Don't make it interesting.
Yeah.
Boom, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Movie, done. You want to keep going?
I'll keep going. High Flying Bird. This is a Netflix original. Steven Soderbergh directed this. He filmed it on an iPhone 8, which I would not have guessed that looking at it. I don't know. Watching this movie, I never really liked it that much. When it ended, I thought, I kind of feel like I need to watch this again because I think I may not have quite gotten it. Like at the end, it just does some neat things at the end that once you start thinking about this, you're like, oh, you know, I need to rewatch this. I think some things happened here that I didn't quite pick up on. It's about a sports agent and his rookie basketball client. They're having a lockout, you know, when the players basically go on strike and his player doesn't have any money trying to make it through that. This agent's trying to, you know, retain his clients and it's interesting. I don't know. I feel like I need to watch it again before I say more than that because I didn't like it while I watched it, but at the end I thought, you know, I think there's more to it than I realized.
It has a Zazie Beetz in it. I love her. She's Val on Atlanta, that show.
Yeah, she's in Deadpool too.
Oh yeah, yeah, she's fantastic. I love her. Yes,
she does a nice job in this. And rounding it out, have watched The Office seasons 1-4. Just started 4, a couple episodes in. This is the U.S. version. Forgot how much I like this show, how funny this show is. I knew around season 4 is when it kind of went downhill, that these characters became a characterization of themselves. Yeah. Well, you know, like Michael Scott, I've always liked him. He's this selfish boss that, you know, like, it kind of encapsulates him when he's talking about
he's
one of his employees' wedding.
Did you just say selfish? It's not selfish.
Yeah, he is selfish.
He's like the least. No.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no, Ben's shaking. No, no, you can't
he
agree.
He has some pretty selfish
no!
moments.
No, none of it is from a selfish place. It's all from a place of, like, love and admiration and wanting to have friends.
Yeah, it's
like
wanting to be
liked,
though.
Sadness. Yeah, but he's not selfish. Give me an example of him being selfish. That's not selfish.
Phyllis is, it's her wedding day, and he says, this is a really big day for Phyllis, but an even bigger day for me. And so, like, everything's kind of spun as, you know, his moment, you know, and it's everything has to be about him, and that's selfish to a degree.
Oh my gosh, you're ruining this show for me, Ward. That is not at all the Michael Scott that I love and adore from the days back when this show was on. He's endearing. He's trying so hard to have some sort of meaning in his life, and that's just who he is. He's awkward.
He is very awkward, and I mean, he's very, you know, he just wants to be liked, and he doesn't know how to do that, and the amazing thing is, some of this stuff just feels so real to me. Like, you know, Michael Scott does things, I think, you know, I've seen that happen before.
When he does improv, he's incredibly selfish.
Yes, I love, okay, how is he selfish? Oh, because he has a gun in his pocket. And
he jumps into every scene with a gun, even when they're like, hey, don't even come into
so
this scene.
Funny.
He holds people hostage.
So funny though.
I actually am on season 9 right now. I've been like slowly watching it again. Well, so the first time when it was airing, I stopped at season 4 when they drive into the
yes.
bar.
Yes.
Gosh, that's
the
terrible.
GPS tells them, I was like, this show. So like
what?
The hour long episode sucks.
What? What is going on right now?
But I have since, like, someone was like, hey, you should just give another shot. So I rewatched 1-3, watched 4, and was, like, kind of into it. And so I've been watching 5-9 for the first time. So I watched seasons 1-3, I watched 4 for the first time, and I'm watching 5-8 for the first time recently, and I'm on 9 now. And I don't know. Like, I think 5, 6, and 7 have, like, good episodes, but 8 and 9 are definitely, of a different quality.
Good or bad? Like, different quality good? Or
I think there's a lot of they found that formula where they like tie things up with like a little bow at the end of everything,
yeah.
And they just got kind of stuck on that as opposed to entirely well-written episodes that
earn that sort of
ending every time.
I don't like this conversation.
But I do. I love that show. I'm advocating for watching it all the way through.
Okay.
Nico, you watch this show, right?
Yeah, of course.
And you had to ask if seasons 8 and 9 were better or worse. I just want to clarify that
point. Well, I didn't know his opinion. Well, listen, we talked a little bit about this before, that I don't like rewatching the show because I don't like the Jim and Pam thread. I think they ruined the entire series with all of their, like, will they, won't they, and then they got together, and then there was, like, this thought, like, maybe she'll have an affair, maybe they'll get a divorce. I didn't like any of that. I watched that show because I want 30 minutes of relaxation and fun and Michael Scott and Dwight, and that's it. And so I can't rewatch it. I just don't really want to sit and have drama in that. So I think it got ruined by that.
Well, I was surprised. The Jim and Pam thing, that starts season one. I mean, that's from the beginning, that
whole
thing.
Well, yeah, but it goes too far into the drama. And that's not why I sit to watch The Office. So I cannot rewatch that show. That show is done for me, unfortunately.
I think if that's how you feel, you like watch until Michael... Never mind, I'm not going to spoil that. I was going to say something, but...
Have people not watched The Office? Is there anybody on the planet who hasn't watched The Office?
Is it still spoiling it if it ended 6 years ago?
I don't know. You know what? Someone just spoiled the movie Solvent Green. Is that what it's called?
Soylent Green.
Soylent Green.
Yes! Someone just ruined that movie to me, and I was so angry. I was... furious, because that's a movie I would love to watch. We were watching really bad sci-fi movies from the 80s. We were having like this little movie-a-thon, and then he was like, oh yeah, we should watch that movie. But then he told me the ending, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me, that sounds so amazing, and you just ruined it. He's like, it's been like 30 years, like, you don't get to say that I spoiled it. But it was new to me.
I'm amazed you haven't heard that quote before.
Well,
oh, yeah, there's a company that makes a food product called Soylent.
Oh boy.
I mean, they're called Soylent, and it's just like a protein powder.
Okay.
Like, I feel like they haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, probably not.
I think they have seen that movie. They've seen that movie, like, we got this.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we're telling you what this is made out of. It's on the package.
Yeah, so that movie got spoiled for me. I wasn't a very big fan. I was pretty angry.
What's the worst spoiler you ever got? Like, actually, like, a timely spoiler for a movie?
A timely one. I don't know.
I was leaving to watch The Sixth Sense.
No.
Yeah, in 1999, like, going to see it in a theater the Saturday it came out. I missed the Friday, and a kid down the street.
Oh, no.
I was like 14 years old,
oh, no.
Just came up and was like,
yes. Oh no. Yeah, that's
yeah.
That's the one that everyone always jokingly spoils now, like it's a joke, but like that's pretty sad that it got for real spoiled.
Yeah, that really happened. But I mean I enjoyed that movie. That was the last time I really enjoyed some Shyamalan.
He's trying too hard now to make his twist. That's the problem. He peaked too early in his career.
With Wide Awake starring Rosie O'Donnell?
Oh my gosh. What?
That's pre-Sixth Sense.
Oh my gosh, I gotta look at this one. Oh my gosh. A tale of a 10-year-old boy in a Catholic school who, following the death of his beloved grandfather, embarks on a quest for the meaning of life. This takes the form of making sure not only that heaven exists, but that his grandfather has gone there. Oh my goodness. Ward, yeah. I found our movie.
Sounds
for
like
next
it.
Week.
Let's do it.
Dennis,
it's weird how many movies he made about little boys.
Oh, that's...
Because he also wrote Stuart Little.
Oh, did he? Well, that's weird and interesting.
I think he did. He may not be credited as a writer, but he definitely worked on that movie. But so it's just creepy. Like, his first, like, four or five movies are all about little kids. And then Science has two little kids, and then...
Sixth Sense is
there's a lot of little kids in it.
There's a lot of little kids, yeah. Okay. All right. Ward, if people want to find you... Actually, no. Ward, hush for a second. We're not going to do you first. That's right. Nod and keep your mouth shut. Ben, thank you so much for coming on. If people want to find you, where can they find you online?
I am at BW Redder. It's at BWREDDER on both Instagram and Twitter. Come watch my content.
Perfect. Ward, where can people find you?
Well, I run a very little-known podcast called Fridays on the Fly. You can find it at fridaysonthefly.com.
Stop that. You're promoting... And your other podcast that you rarely invite me on this podcast that we do together. Are you serious right now?
I have given you an open invitation. I've told you whenever you want to be on it, let me know and I'll put it together.
I'm not going to invite myself onto a podcast. You have to accept.
I've given you a blanket invitation.
I can't believe you right now. I can't believe
blanket invitation.
Go ahead. Promote it. Do it.
Now I lost my turn. You know, I don't even want to promote it anymore.
Fridays on the Fly. Fly.
Thank you.
Fridays on the Fly. Ward at Fridays on the Fly. You can find him on Twitter.
Probably not. I mean, there's fridaysonthefly.com. That website's all there is because I don't promote this podcast. I don't put much work into it. Should you listen to it? Probably not.
Sold.
If I can sell one person, I've done my job.
Okay. You can find me at Nico Bell Fiction on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find us at Box Office Refund on Twitter and Instagram, and we have merchandise. I know, it's awesome, but not only can you get a shirt that says Box Office Refund, but we do merchandise based off of the silly movies that we have watched. So, if you like Graboids, we have a Team Graboid shirt. If you like raw chickens getting their freak on with web cameras, hey, we don't judge, but we do have a shirt for it. So check it out on Tee Public. You can look at that on our Instagram, and you can get information about that. All right, Ben, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
I had the best time. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you guys later.
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.